You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to the Horses Equine Innovators Podcast, sponsored by Zoetis. I'm your host, Stephanie Church, editorial director at The Horse and thehorse.com. Every day, researchers at universities and other institutions around the world are examining new ways to care for and understand our horses. In this podcast series, we talk to those innovators to learn more about their work. Simplify your quest for fall deworming. Only Zoetis' Quest Plus Gel controls both encysted small strongyles and tapeworms in a single dose. Consult your vet for assistance in the diagnosis, treatment, and control of parasitism. Sedation can be an essential tool for keeping horses and the people around them safe during routine care and veterinary procedures. In this episode, we're exploring when and how equine practitioners use sedation, how sedation prescribed for owner administration has changed the landscape, and what innovations are on the horizon. Today, my guest is Dr. Lori Bidwell, co-founder of East West Equine Sports Medicine, a practice that covers veterinary services for hunter-jumper circuits on both coasts. Dr. Bidwell is also a boarded veterinary anesthesiologist and a certified veterinary acupuncturist. She consults in anesthesia for equine practices and speaks and teaches nationally and internationally. Welcome, Dr. Bidwell.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's start with the basics on sedation. For owners who might not be familiar, what exactly is equine sedation and how does it differ from general anesthesia?
Well, we're really lucky that we have medications that allow us to do standing procedures in horses that it basically allows us to make them very tranquilized. There's pain management aspects involved in some of the medications that we use, but it keeps them from going into recumbency and keeps them standing. So there are a lot of procedures that we can do without the risk of general anesthesia.
Okay, great. Thank you. So when do veterinarians typically reach for sedation in their practice? Can you walk us through some common scenarios where they might use an injectable sedation?
Yep. So in the practice where I am, we see a lot of emergencies at horse shows. And so colic cases, if we have a horse that's uncomfortable, we'll give them sedation because there is pain management aspect to it as well. It helps keep the horse comfortable while we do a good physical exam, while we might do some joint injections. You know, we'll pass endoscope into a horse if we're concerned about their airway, and we'll use sedation for that. And we can do that standing, which is great. So really, there are a lot of things. You know, on the surgical side of things, we can do standing surgery in horses, like ovariectomies and mares, airway surgery in horses. And so it's great because it's opened up a lot of things. Actually, some surgeries that we used to do general anesthesia for, they've now found that they can do standing surgery. And so it's really opened up a whole new field of things that we can do standing in a horse, but with them in the right plane of sedation and anesthesia.
That's really exciting. Thank you. Can you give a couple examples of what those surgeries that used to require putting them recumbent and now you can do them standing?
Actually placing screws actually in bone, like for some fractures, and actually taking joint chips out of joints, like for smaller chips. They can actually do some of those procedures standing. It's pretty amazing.
That's awesome. So let's shift for a moment to sedation in the hands of a horse owner, use of dormosedan gel. In what kinds of situations might a vet prescribe dormosedan gel for owner use, and how should owners think about administering it safely?
I have to just start with the fact that dorm gel is one of the greatest inventions recently. I really love it because it doesn't force an owner to give an injection to their horse. And so the great thing about dormosedan gel is that it's absorbed through the mucous membranes. So it's a gel that comes in a tube. It's like a dewormer, which dewormer is another one of the greatest inventions. I remember having to give it with a nasogastric tube. Oh. But dormosedan gel, yeah, that was that's always a little traumatic for everyone. But dorm gel is relatively safe. And that's a great thing as long as you don't get it in an open wound or mucous membranes. And so for an owner handling it, we do recommend wearing gloves. But again, if you don't have gloves, you're truly safe as long as it's not in an open wound and you wash your hands as soon as you're done using it. It's something that you can give into the corner of the horse's mouth. So it just needs to get into the mucous membranes. You don't want them to swallow it. So you just kind of can slide it into the side of their mouth and administer the gel. It's very easy to administer. It, you know, it's not, doesn't really have a bad taste. And so most horses are very willing to allow you to place it in their mouth. And it does take about 45 minutes for the onset. And so it is important that you give it to a horse in a quiet environment where they can just relax and you give it a proper amount of time to be effective. Mm-hmm. But like I said before, it's so nice because you don't have to give any injection. So for a horse that is needle shy or you want a horse to continue to trust you, it's a nice option that you can give just sublingually.
Yes, with my longtime horse, I body clipped him a few times, gave him a trace clipped, and he did not like his belly being trimmed at all. Like, that was the only thing that wasn't perfect about this horse. He was like, I'm going to kick you in the head if you do this. So I would use the Dorm gel, and that was always very useful for me because I am a little nervous about giving injections to my own horse. So anyway, it was a lifesaver for me a few times as well.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up because I think clipping is a really important one that this is a great option for. There are a lot of horses too that are afraid of a veterinarian. And so it's nice if you can give your horse something before the veterinarian comes. I mean, it's truly amazing how horses know what we smell like and what our car sounds like. Like, they're so incredibly smart. So this is a nice medication option for things like that, for fireworks, for, you know, anything that might be a scary environment for a horse and they just need something to take the edge off and just help them get through something that's a little scary.
So let's just work through a little scenario here. And I know I didn't put this in the questions originally, but okay. I'm curious about, like, so fireworks specifically. So if I have maybe four horses in a barn and like two of them are really chill and two of them get pretty worked up, I just need to kind of anticipate that 45 minutes before dark, I probably need to give the two horses that are pretty freaked out by fireworks the Dorm gel, or should I give it to all of them? Or what do you think about that?
Well, if you know your horse as well, and you know that two of them are not going to have a problem, then I would leave them be. It is all a matter of how close is it going to be. You know, if we have a neighbor in Kentucky that will shoot off fireworks sometimes, it's usually on a weekend. He doesn't really give us a warning, but it's really close. And so if I know something like that is going to happen, and even if I know my horse might be fine with it, when they're really close, you hate for them to have a bad experience. So it's a matter of, you know, what the situation is. But for the two that you know are going to be scared, it's just a matter of giving it at least 45 minutes beforehand. Dorm gel lasts 90 to 180 minutes. And so you've got a pretty nice size window there. If you're a little late to give it, you might not get the full effect, especially if they start getting stimulated before the drug has an opportunity to give a full effect.
Yes, I grew up in Virginia, and we, about a quarter mile away, we have a war cemetery. And every year on Veterans Day and on Memorial Day, they have like a 21 gun salute and they shoot off a cannon. And that can create it can create a little bit of drama on my parents' place. And, you know, I've never thought about suggesting that to my mom because she could do the Dorm gel with the horses that get upset. And we can find out when the event's gonna start and 45 minutes ahead. So yeah, that's good. Thank you for helping me to think about this type of thing I could do to my mom. So
one thing I do recommend is testing it before an actual scary event as well, just because there are some horses that might respond to it very heavily and there are some that might not respond as heavily. And so it's good to just kind of have a test event where there's not a lot of scariness, but you can actually see how the medication works. And so it's just a matter of kind of coordinating with your veterinarian to get a dose of the Dormosedan gel and just try it. You know, maybe you're going to do something like body clip the horse, and that's going to be a test for how is my horse going to do with this for fireworks. So with anything, it's good to have an idea of how well it's going to work beforehand. And so that's just a recommendation I would give, because like a cannon is pretty extreme and it would be nice to know if this is going to be enough or, you know, am I going to need a little something else as well?
Yeah, it was a little scary the year that they switched it to like a sunset service. So
oh my God.
We weren't expecting it. I walked outside and I heard a bagpipe and I didn't know what was going on.
Well, I think it's important for people to understand that of all the sedation drugs that we have, dormosedan is an alpha 2 adrenergic agonist. And there are other drugs in that class like xylazine and ranitidine. But of those drugs, dormosedan has the most consistent analgesia and it is dose dependent. So like even with the dorm gel, it comes as 3 mLs. And for an adult, you want to give the full dose. And that is part of why like it's good to test it in a horse.
Okay. Thank you. So what should owners know about how long sedation lasts? I would say particularly after something like a dentistry procedure or whatever it happens to be that the vet's working on. And how should they monitor their horse during and after it takes effect?
Okay. So with dorm gel specifically, the duration is 90 to 180 minutes. And with injectable dormosedan, it's about an hour, hour and a half, but it's a tricky thing. So alpha 2 agonists are all, the duration is dose dependent. And so if your veterinarian has to give a big dose, it's going to last longer. And it's just important to understand that every horse is different, just like people. Like I respond incredibly well to any sedation medication. I pass out basically and I'm asleep. Whereas some people are way less sensitive and tend to be awake still. And so you have to realize that every horse is different. There's no black and white to how long something is going to last. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on how much stimulation there is, how much stimulation there was before you gave the medication. But keeping that in mind, you want to make sure that you take away water from the horse's stall and food while they're waking up, because it might take 2 hours before that horse is fully awake, but they might want to start eating hay if they have some in their stall, but they won't chew it effectively. And so one of the common side effects we see if we don't remember to take the hay away is that they can actually choke. Mm-hmm. Because they're not chewing effectively. So the other thing is with water, I've actually seen some horses that are pretty drunk when they go back to their stall and they just kind of put their head wherever and can actually like put their head in the water bucket. And so don't want them to accidentally go snorkeling. So it is really important just to make sure you take those things away and plan on taking them away for at least 2 hours after mm-hmm. they go back to their stall, just to be cautious.
I know that with my horse Happy, when he was at one farm, when the dentist would come to, or the veterinary dentist would come to work on him, he needed a little bit more sedation just because there was a lot more activity at that farm. And then when I moved mm-hmm. him to a new farm that was a lot quieter, it was amazing how he needed less and less sedation. And my veterinarian would just keep track of that in his notes and would go back to it and say, okay, well, how much did we give him last time? But then afterward, oh my gosh, drunk Happy. Drunk Happy was a very entertaining horse. I would take his food away. And then as he started to wake up, I'd actually take him for a little walk. Is that something, was mm-hmm. that the right thing to do? I don't know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no harm in doing that. The only thing I don't recommend is taking them for a ride or doing something that's going to cause them to have higher blood pressure because it can be a little dramatic on their system. And so even the same day that a horse is sedated for like a dental, I do not recommend riding them later that day. Okay. There can be a little bit of risk just kind of changing their blood pressure suddenly or doing something. So taking them for a walk, absolutely. The main thing is I don't let them graze. I want them just to kind of slowly walk around. And, you know, they're basically like a kid that is drunk for the first time sometimes, and they don't really know where their legs are. And so you just have to be the parent and make sure they're going the right way and doing what they need to do.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Thank you. Well, what about grass too? I know you talked about hay and water, but like, can they go back out in the field and graze, or are they going to do the same thing out there, like possibly cause themselves to choke?
Yeah. I mean, it all depends on what the field looks like that they're going into. You know, I have some horses that are super pigs, and so they've eaten down the grass to next to nothing in their paddock. I don't tend to worry about a horse going out to that if it's like a lot of work, unless I look out and they're like taking out clumps of roots as well and trying to swallow that. But it's a matter of just keep an eye on them. If they're going into a field that has a lot of grass, again, they can take big bites and not chew. So they could set themselves up for choke. So it's good just to put them somewhere where they can't do much grazing first.
Okay. Thank you. So in your roles over the years as a veterinarian, you've worked with a wide range of horses from backyard companions to high performance athletes. Is there a case or a moment that stands out to you, maybe a procedure that went more smoothly or safely thanks to the approach that you took with the sedation?
Yes. I used to work with an ophthalmologist at a practice in Kentucky, and we had to do some tricky cases, and one of them was intraocular injections of medication.
Wow.
And I think this grossed me out completely, and so I'm always kind of freaked out. But as an anesthesiologist, we're really into like using little bits of different drugs and combining them. And so I would do things like that, but never got the right amount of sedation. And I finally just decided to give a bigger dose of dormosedan. And so I actually just gave a mil, which is actually the label dose is 1 mL to 2 mL for a 1,000-pound horse IV of dormosedan. Mm-hmm. And so this horse had the perfect level of sedation, perfect level of analgesia for the procedure. And I remember the ophthalmologist was a little nervous about how sedate the horse would be afterward, but truly it was about 45 minutes that it was sedate, but she was able to get some other procedures done and the horse, you know, did very well and was able to get on a horse trailer after about 45 minutes and go home. And so it's not the same with every single horse, but that really was an eye changer for me or eye opener for me because it was such a good level of sedation and pain management that I was able to get away with doing a pretty painful procedure.
That's really interesting.
Need a helping hand to care for your horse? Prescription Dormosedan Gel by Zoetis is easily administered under your horse's tongue. Speak with your veterinarian to see if Dormosedan Gel is right for your horse and visit zoetisequine.com for more information.
What's something you wish more horse owners understood about sedation?
How incredibly safe these drugs are. And, you know, I'm not saying that lightly. Like I, as an anesthesiologist, like I have caution with any medication that we're going to put in a horse's body. But the drugs that we use for sedation, which are most often alpha-2 adrenergic agonists, like dormosedan or xylazine or ramipodine, are really amazing drugs because they have a ceiling effect to the sedation. So you can give a very large amount of these drugs to a horse and never get too much sedation. I mean, saying that, I've seen geriatric horses lie down after you give them some. Mm-hmm. But in most horses, like we actually had a case of someone accidentally read a dosage wrong, and instead of giving 12 milligrams of dormosedan to a horse, they gave 12 mils. Oh. Which is 120 milligrams and not something that you would ever want to do on purpose, but it was a horse that had laminitis and she was getting that every, you know, like 4 to 6 hours just mm-hmm. for comfort and to help her. And she was sedate for 24 hours after that dose because I'd said this before, but the more you give, the longer it lasts. So we would have to reverse the drug every 4 hours and she would eat for a little bit, but the drug kind of holds on tight to the receptors. So once the reversal wore off, she'd go back to being sedate. But she also had incredible analgesia. And so it was the most comfortable she had been. Mm-hmm. She actually didn't want to eat before that because she was not feeling good, but she actually had a good, comfortable 24 hours. I mean, it was a sleepy 24 hours, but she mm-hmm. never actually laid down. And she went on to do very well after that. And so I was thankful for that experience. I mean, it was a really crazy expensive mistake, but I was thankful to see how safe the drug is. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I appreciate these drugs that do what we need them to do. We actually have reversals, so we can reverse the drug if we need to, but they wear off in a pretty, you know, reasonable amount of time when given it the appropriate doses. So I'm thankful that we have these available for horses.
Mm-hmm. So am I. And referring back to that case, a horse that's eating is better than a horse that's not eating, right? So that's the,
yes,
you always really want her,
yes.
You want her eating the whole time. Okay. So, yeah. So what do you say to a horse owner who feels really nervous about sedation and just isn't comfortable sedating their horse for a procedure?
Well, it comes down to a matter of safety. You know, the reality is I work in a very dangerous profession. And what we do to horses is something, you know, we can't just have a conversation with horses and say, hey, this is what we're going to do. And we just need to be still. Like, you know, I try talking to my horses all the time, but we can't quite convey what we need to. And so there are times that we really, to keep everyone safe, we need to use sedation. And, you know, we've already talked about how the drugs that we choose for these things are in general very safe drugs. And so we're lucky that, you know, they're going to wear off in a reasonable amount of time, but they're going to keep the horse safe and keep them from panicking and keep the person doing the procedure safe and allow us to do them faster. I've certainly had cases where I've tried not to use sedation. If we are in a situation where we have FEI rules, which is the international competition, we're not allowed to use any sort of sedation or analgesic. So in those cases, we have to, say, put together a small wound with just a twitch and staples, and we're not allowed to use any medication. And so we can get it done, but in that case, it's not the best experience for the horse, and we don't do the best job putting it back together. And so that's why in a lot of situations, using sedation will help us do a better job. It'll actually make it a better experience for the horse, and it's safer for everyone involved.
That's great. Thank you. So let's talk about innovation. What advances in sedation, whether it's formulations, delivery methods, scenarios in which you use them, or monitoring, are you most excited about right now as an anesthesiologist?
Well, it's using sublingual medications, of being allowed to give something that you can give to owners to take home and use and feel safe and comfortable with that, mm-hmm. is, I think, one of the best innovations. You know, we now know we can use small doses of ketamine with sedation for chronic pain situations. We can use midazolam, which is like diazepam, in small doses combined with alpha-2 agonists like dormosedone or xylazine. And it really helps get rid of anxiety. And so we actually get better levels of sedation. And so those are things that, you know, if I was doing a standing procedure in a horse, I might actually use a combination of dormosedone gel to get the horse in a good place before I even give some injectable sedation. Mm-hmm. It's also going to help make my sedation last longer. And then I might combine, you know, another medication for more analgesia. So we are just in a place now that we have very, you know, in general, very safe medications that we can use, and we can use small amounts with alpha-2 agonists and get a better response. So that, I think that's really exciting that, you know, we don't have a lot of medications available, but mm-hmm. the ones that we have available are great.
That's wonderful. So get out your crystal ball as someone who is involved in advancing this field, because I'm sure you have been involved in that. Where do you see the future of sedation heading over the next 5 to 10 years in horses?
Well, I see, you know, in small animal veterinary medicine, we have alpha-2 agonists that they will use for short duration sedation, and they can reverse it quite easily. And so we, you know, horses are different, they're built differently, but I think we're going to get better with some of the medications that we have and figuring out ways to do that so that we can safely reverse horses. One of the problems right now is just that you can get some big changes in their blood pressure if you reverse an alpha-2 very quickly. We don't have a lot of options that are actually approved for horses. We have one drug that is. Okay. And so I think that's a field that's probably going to get tweaked a little bit better, and hopefully we'll figure out how to do that better. But I'm thankful we have reversal agents, and so we can do those things. It's just, I think we're going to get better at it. I think more people will get comfortable using like dormosedone gel and find other ways to combine that with medications to make procedures smoother too. So it's exciting because we've got the options. It's just in equine medicine, it seems like it takes some of us a little bit longer to get comfortable with things. And mm-hmm. so I think we're headed in the right direction. And I think people are going to get a little better at figuring out how to use them.
Okay. Thank you. So any final tips or takeaways you'd like to leave with horse owners about working with their vets to keep their horses calm, safe, and comfortable as part of routine handling and vet work?
Well, I think number one is to train your horses how to be handled a little bit better. Mm-hmm. I think that's the best starting point, is just take the time to teach them manners and to let them get comfortable with putting something in their mouth or putting something on their neck. Horses very fairly get needle shy, and that's because every time you put a needle in their vein, you actually cause a little scar tissue. And so I would love for people to do less injections like in the profession that I am in, a lot of people will give injections at night. It might be Banamine or phenylbutazone as an analgesic, but sometimes it's things that they shouldn't be giving injectably into horses, like calming agents. And I wish everyone understood that it's a bit traumatic for their vein. And so we're actually setting up them up for problems when we need to give them injections. Like, we're actually causing more pain, we're causing more trauma, they get more anxious about it because maybe they're getting injected too often. And I know this is kind of going off in a whole different field of welfare and things that we do on a regular basis that have just become, like, people are just desensitized to it because it's so common. Mm-hmm. And so they think it's okay. But I think people need to realize, like, everything we do to a horse has an after effect. And so it all comes back to, let's just be better horsemen and actually learn how to handle our horses, not use medications to help us show if we don't need to. And so then the horse is set up a little bit better for when, you know, the veterinarian is coming and we need to do a procedure and we want to use the least amount of medications that we can to get the job done safely. So I don't know, that goes into a whole other discussion, and I'm sorry if I kind of opened that box, but.
No, it's very important, and it was very well said. So thank you for bringing that up. I have one last very practical question about Dorm Gel. As a horse owner, if my veterinarian has prescribed Dorm Gel to my horse, if I'm storing it for later use, do I need to keep it in any sort of special temperature, or, you know, can I just have it in my tack trunk, or does it need to be in a climate controlled room, or what would you say about that?
Well, for any medication, it's best if it's in a cool, dry place. And for any medication, especially Dorm Gel, if a dog eats it, it will get sedate. And, you know, dogs do strange things. And so I don't like leaving anything around that is something a dog could chew on. Uh-huh. And I also don't like leaving medications in something that's going to get moved around a lot, you know, might get put in really hot environments, like at a horse show. So try to store medications just in a cool, dry place that's safe. You don't want anyone handling it that shouldn't be. And, you know, there is a risk to anything. If a child were to eat a tube of Dorm Gel, that could cause some severe reactions, some heavy sedation, and some problems that would, you don't even want to go there. So like any medication, put it in a place that is, you know, out of the reach of children, out of the reach of pets.
So child safe area, dog safe, maybe even cat safe area. I'm thinking I'm going to put it on the top shelf inside of my my tack locker for my next horse.
Yep. A tack locker or in a tack room in a cabinet, somewhere just where it's not going to be in kind of extremes of weather and out of the reach of anyone that shouldn't be handling it.
That's good. Thank you. So where can listeners learn more about you and your practice?
We actually have a website at eastwestequinevet.com. Mm-hmm. And we are on Instagram under East West Equine Sports Medicine.
Yeah, you have a great Instagram. I like keeping up with you guys and all your adventures.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, my husband and I have been competing at show jumping while we work, which we're really lucky that we get to do. So we try to kind of combine our love with our work.
I love that. You guys are a study in work-life balance. So I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Bidwell, and sharing your wisdom with us.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I've enjoyed it.
So whether it's a dental procedure or fireworks heavy time, sedation used thoughtfully and in partnership with your veterinarian can help reduce stress and risk for everyone involved. Also, make sure your horses are trained well so you won't need to inject them as often. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more conversations with the people shaping the future of equine health.